Lovely. There are some lovely arrangements on the windowsills. Do please take the time to have a look. And I'm going to ask all of those who have kindly created these lovely windowsills for us if you could possibly leave them as we have an evening service here tonight. And it would be nice for folk who come to see them then. It's my great pleasure to welcome Hilary Beckingham here this morning, who will lead our worship. Thank you, Hilary.
Good morning. It's lovely to be with you for your Harvest Festival service this morning, and it was a joy to hear from the vestry the upbeat singing of the worship group who prepared the environment and the atmosphere for our worship this morning. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and all that is in it, the compass of the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. As we worship God on this Harvest Festival Sunday, may we find each that we have an encounter with that King of glory as we worship him. And so we sing together from Singing the Faith, number 113, O Worship the King. Of course, it's inevitable that our Harvest Festival celebrations come with the change of the season. And I think we are all aware that the trees are turning, aren't they? And at evening time, we're all commenting, oh, the nights are drawing in. And we feel that that sense of autumn in the air. But you know, I've realised there's another indicator for me of the change of the seasons, and it's nothing to do with the natural world outside. It's to do with the fact that this is my first experience of your church. Because, of course, when I've been to lead worship before, we've been in the church hall on your winter energy saving campaign, I guess. And as we were singing that opening hymn, I realised that it felt a little different, and it's great to be here in your sanctuary. And we know that God is not bound by bricks and mortar, but it's lovely to be here worshipping God in this place. So that's a joy for me this morning to have experienced worship at Knapp Hill Methodist Church in both seasons and locations. We are going to, for our opening prayers this morning, we're going to use a hymn. It will be a well-known hymn for you, and I'm going to read it as a prayer, so there's no need for us to find it in the hymn book. In fact, rather, I invite you just to notice the words and to pray the words as we make this prayer together. There will be a response. Each verse finishes with two lines that begin with, "We thank you, Lord." And on the second, "We thank you, Lord," it's followed by the word "and." The word "and" is the lead into the response, which is, "Praise your holy name." So at the end of each verse, the bidding is, "We thank you, Lord, and," if you would please join with the response, "Praise your holy name." Let us pray together. Think of a world without any flowers. Think of a wood without any trees. Think of a sky without any sunshine. Think of the air without any breeze. We thank you, Lord, for flowers and trees and sunshine. We thank you, Lord, and praise your holy name. Think of a world without any animals. Think of a field without any herd. Think of a stream without any fishes. Think of a dawn without any bird. We thank you, Lord, for all your living creatures. We thank you, Lord, and praise your holy name. Think of a world without any paintings. Think of a room where all the walls are bare. Think of a rainbow without any colours. Think of the earth with darkness everywhere. We thank you, Lord, for paintings and for colours. We thank you, Lord, and praise your holy name. Think of a world without any people. Think of a street with no one living there. Think of a town without any houses, no one to love, and nobody to care. We thank you, Lord, for families and friendships. We thank you, Lord, and praise your holy name. Thanks to our Lord for being here among us. Thanks be to him for sharing all we do. Thanks for this church and all the love we find here. Thanks for this place and all its promise true. We thank you, Lord, for life in all its richness. We thank you, Lord, and praise your holy name. We join in the prayer which Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. As you reflect on harvest festivals, I wonder what memories, what thoughts come to your mind. If you went to Sunday school, perhaps you would have been given a basket carefully made at home, filled with fruit and covered with a bow to take and present at church, yes? With Michaelmas daisies. Was something significant about Michaelmas? No, it's just an autumn flower, so lovely to do. Yes, yeah. And I think that's it, isn't it? It's harvest festival particularly evokes all kinds of memories in us. And the memories are not just to do with the sights, they're to do with the smells, aren't they, as well, I think, and with the textures that we see. And I can always remember as a young child walking into church and the smell of the harvest festival, fruits and flowers and vegetables were there. Now, I wonder if you grew up in this kind of a harvest tradition. And it's quite a good thing, I think, that we don't do it anymore. But we would all take our harvest baskets, our harvest fruits, vegetables and flowers to church on the Sunday morning when I was little. And then on the Monday evening, we'd gather together again for a harvest supper. And at the harvest supper, we would have an auction. Did you have auctions? I think no. Oh well, at the harvest supper we would have an auction, and all the fruit and vegetables and the flowers that we'd brought would be auctioned back again, and then the money would be used to go to whatever charity we were supporting. So it was this kind of routine. I grew up in Warwickshire. I grew up in Stratford-on-Avon. And Warwickshire, a little bit like Surrey really, very leafy, very woody, not quite so hilly, but very green and beautiful. And Warwickshire at harvest time was so special. And I think this morning, as we not only gather here for today, let us allow all the influences of delighting in God's creation that we have experienced in the past to have their own influence on us this morning as we delight in God's good creation. And that's what I'm going to invite us to do now. Now, Harvest Festival indeed is about delighting in God's creation. It's about being thankful for all that we have. And it's also about being aware of those who don't have so much, isn't it? And we'll be coming particularly to that in a few moments' time in our worship. But this morning, I'm going to invite you to delight in a very simple and straightforward way. Now, there's a food allergy warning coming now, because Linda and I are about to bring round to you some little bags. They contain tomatoes, so if tomato skin or its contents is something that's not great for you, then I invite you please to use your own discernment and discretion about the bag that you will be handed. Otherwise, I invite you to take the little bag when we bring it round and just to open it and set it on your lap. And then we're just going to have a few minutes of guided thinking about what's in the bag on our laps. Thank you, Linda. And so I invite you to just open the bag, and there you should find 3 little tomatoes. And what I ask you to do this morning, if you will, is just to take delight in God's creation. These tomatoes, and I know that I won't be the only tomato grower here this morning, and I know that we all know what it's all about. But these tomatoes were grown from seed and placed as little tiny seedlings in a pot and then out in the garden. And all I did was watch and wait and harvest. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? And I invite you, if you will, just to open up your little kitchen roll bag and have a look. And as you look, just take a moment to look at the colour. Look at its vibrancy. There's nothing exciting or unusual or different, and yet it's amazing. Look how shiny it is. Perhaps just feel the smoothness of the skin. Just touch it. Feel the smoothness of the skin. Look at the variations in the colours. I doubt very much whether your 3 tomatoes are all exactly the same colour. I know that has to do with ripeness. And as you hold it, just delight in these simple fruits of God's creation. And I invite you to now. You can choose. You can either have one now.
And there's enough seed in each tomato for about 50 more plants.
Thank you so much for that. I'll just relay that through the PA system. There's enough seed in every tomato for about 50 more plants. Just pause. Just pause and delight. We've looked, we've touched, we taste. You can either have all 3 now. You can either wrap them up and take them home with you, or if I see people popping tomatoes during the service, none of us will mind one little bit. Each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings, he made their glowing colours, he paints their tiny wings. We sing together the hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Oh, This reading is from Job chapter 38, verses 1 to 18. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm, and he said, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, 'This far you may come and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt.' Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place, that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like day under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light, and their upraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the deepest darkness? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this." Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Psalm chapter 104, verse 1, and then verses 14 to 24. "Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests. The stork has its home in the junipers. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are a refuge for the hyrax. He made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then people go out to their work, to their labor until evening. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Thanks be to God."
Thank you to our readers this morning. And so on this Harvest Festival Sunday, you will see the lovely window displays. The window displays represent the harvest of the world. And you're invited, I know, if you haven't already done so, to please take your time and have a look round at each of the displays, each showing significant and different aspects of the harvest of the world. We are also mindful of those who do not have at Harvest Festival, and I know that here at Knaphill Methodist Church you have a long-standing relationship with Whitechapel Mission, and we're going to hear now something of that work. Thank you.
Good morning. I was asked to say a few words about Whitechapel Mission and our connection with it, and I'm taking information from, or I have taken the information from, the 2018 report. That's the most recent one we have. There are at least four more copies out in the welcome area if you would like one. And obviously there's a lot more information on their website with information about what's going on day to day. It's a fascinating, distressing and heartwarming read. It's fascinating because of the range of activities and the help that they provide. The numbers involved, fascinating. Examples, people go in, you know, it's for the homeless, mission to the homeless. People go in to get clean clothing, to change their clothing, to have showers before they do that so they can clean up, not very easy living on the streets, to have breakfast. About 300 breakfasts a day they serve, possibly, up to that, you know. And that is 365 days a year. They have to have a team there at 5:45 a.m., 365 days a year, ready to go. So, you know, lots of people go in for breakfast. Well, you can understand that. It's lonely and sometimes dangerous on the streets. So you can go in, have a nice breakfast in comfortable surroundings, nice and warm, with friendly folk. They give advice to people. They have an advice centre on, you know, benefits, social security, how to get housing, how to get off the streets. You can charge your mobile phone if you are lucky enough to have one. Again, not many chargers around, you know, when you're lying in a doorway. And you can make phone calls if you don't have a mobile phone, because Tony Miller, the director, has emphasised to us before that a lot of people, just because you're on the streets, you are not necessarily estranged from your family. You might still have contact with them and you might want to get in touch. And they do a lot of other things. It's all there. Here at KMC, now I'm glad that Ella is back to put me right, 20 years plus... 22 years our association has been with the Whitechapel Mission. I mean, obviously, as a Methodist mission, we have known of it and had that kind of association. But there used to be a group of people used to go up to help people on a Sunday afternoon once every...
Every time there was a fifth Sunday.
Ah, right. I knew it was about three or four times a year. Whenever there was a fifth Sunday in the month, they used to go up and help people to get showered and to change their, you know, get clean clothing, etc. It's distressing because it is 142 years since Reverend William Temple founded this mission, aiming to improve life for those without homes and get them off the streets. And the opposite is happening. Since between 2017 and 2018, 7% increase in the numbers. Since 2010, a 134% increase. In other words, it has more than doubled. It has gone up nearly 2.5 times. Nearly a third of those who use the mission, have been in care at some time. So they've been having a rotten time for years and now they're on the streets. Great. 38% have been in prison. Well, they may have done something that was a bad choice of their own, but they deserve a chance to become a useful citizen and have a reasonable place to live. They're not achieving that. And one thing it actually says, one of the trustees writing in here says, if you want to do something, write to your MP asking them, him, her, asking the government to implement one of the reports that have been done over the last few years, rather than just commissioning a new report into homelessness and how to change it, do something with the information you've got. So there's a suggestion. It's heartwarming because, you know, you see the smiles on the faces of the clients when they're helped, the numbers of volunteers who help and who go back time and time again to help. They have over 3,000 volunteers during the course of a year, and they couldn't run without them, even though there are staff. They do give advice and help people to get temporary accommodation and even sometimes permanent accommodation. So they do achieve true successes. And I would say most importantly, the dedication of Tony Miller and his family, the director and his family. It's a true calling on his part. He's devoted his life to this. He's been there for years, since he was a young man. He's not so young now. He's can't be that far off retirement age. But he and his wife Sue, and even their children, who've now grown up there, have done wonders for the mission and continue to do so. And they get generous support from far and wide. They get business support, they get volunteer support from churches, not just Methodist churches, so they get support all round. And although the support is very generous, and see the stuff there, this time last year I sent £200 in donations, as well as we supplied a load of goods, and we supplied goods in July, and I've sent £110 again there. And it's all very, very generous. It's been going on for a long time, and it's very generous. But it's a drop in the ocean. It costs them nearly £2,500 a day to operate. That's every day, and that's 365 days a year. And they don't get any public funding. That has its benefits as well as its drawbacks, because they don't have public funding, so they're not constrained in what they may or may not do, or what they have to do, how they have to do it. But obviously they've got to find the money somewhere. So please, if you can, dig deep. It's a very worthy cause to support. And if you didn't know about it, or you hadn't realised, and you haven't brought anything this week but would like to, we don't have a date for handing it over yet. So there's opportunity still to bring more. There are lists. This was a week or so ago, isn't it? So this is a reasonably up-to-date list. But of course, as I say, the website is the most up-to-date. But this is reasonably up-to-date with the things they most urgently need at the moment, and that can be brought in over the next 2 or 3 weeks. There are a few envelopes out there if you wish to gift aid donation, so monetary donations are always very welcome as well, and you can pray for them. Pray for Tony and his family, and for everybody who helps, and for those who use the mission to hope that they can turn their lives around. And I think finally, yes, if you do give goods, please remember that they need a long sell-by date on non-perishable goods, because we don't know when we shall hand it over, and it'll be sometime in the next few weeks, but also they might need to store it for time. So thank you very much. Thank you, Hilary.
Thank you so much for that enlightening and carefully prepared presentation. And so now we're going to sing hymn 122 from Singing the Faith, God whose farm is all creation, take the gratitude we bring. And perhaps as an expression of our gratitude, there may be those of you who have brought gifts that you would like to bring forward to the table. Some are already here, and so you may have already done that. But there's opportunity while we sing for anything that you may have with you to, in terms of supplies for Whitechapel Mission, to be brought forward. And then we'll make a dedicatory prayer together when we have sung the hymn. So we sing together, God whose farm is all creation. Please be seated, and we'll say together a prayer of dedication for the gifts that have been brought, and pray for the work of Whitechapel Mission. Let us pray. Perhaps we can just take a moment to reflect on the words that have been brought to us just now. And the huge percentage increase of those who whose needs are such that they come to Whitechapel Mission for help and support. Let us pray for Tony and his family as he seeks to lead the work there. And as we give thanks for all the volunteers who help to sustain the work, let us pray that Whitechapel Mission will be given all the resources that they need for this regretfully essential work that they do. May God bless them in all their efforts. And Father God, as we present these gifts which have been brought, we pray that they will bring blessing and relief to those who need them. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text for this morning is the verse that we heard right at the beginning of our worship this morning. The earth is the Lord's, and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. It's not a particularly surprising text, I guess, for a harvest festival service. And as we look around us and see and appreciate the beauty of God's good creation, they are words that come readily to mind. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. In Scripture, right from the opening pages We are called to be good stewards of this earth. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, we read, God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Right there we were given responsibility and the call to be good stewards of God's created world. And indeed, now more than ever, we are called to heed the warning to be good stewards of the earth's resources, which as God's people, we know belongs to the Lord. We are waking up to the fact that for so long we have misused and abused this beautiful planet. And that for every advance of humankind, there has been and is a cost to the earth. I remember when I was a teenager and I went on a school trip, and the school trip was actually a cruise. And on the cruise, when the ship was out at ocean, I can remember now seeing in my mind that all the rubbish was just tipped from the ship into the sea, and nobody gave it a second thought. I was reading a little while ago a big issue magazine, and it had an advert for t-shirts, and I rather liked one of them. It said across it, the slogan was, there is no planet, no planet B. There is no planet B. I thought that was rather clever. We've heard of the recent protests of the Extinction Rebellion drive, which has caught the imagination of young people. A little while ago, I had a phone call from my daughter and my granddaughter in great excitement. They were very excited because they'd shopped at a new zero-waste store that had opened up in their town centre. And they were describing it to me. They were talking about the lack of packaging and the absence of plastic. And as they were speaking to me, I had to smile because what they were describing was just like my uncle's grocery store that I used to go and help in when I was a child. And it seemed quite incredible, really. The earth is the Lord's. And everything in it, a fact that we acknowledge with gratitude and joy, especially at this time of Harvest Festival. And it's also a message that our environmentally alarmed world needs to hear. Because if only we had kept those words at the heart of our stewardship of the earth's resources over the years, we might not find ourselves in the position that we are in now. I don't intend to even begin to list the issues that face us and the areas of concern that are concentrating the minds of the great and the good and the ordinary people of our world, anyone who has a conscience about the world in which we live. That's not the purpose this morning. But I would perhaps like to draw a thread from it. In this time of Harvest Festival, in this beautiful season of autumn approaching, we look around us at the sights, the smells, the tastes. We appreciate and we value and give thanks to God. And perhaps we might just draw that thought from it. Just who do we think that we are? Who do we think that we are? For in our quite natural and understandable human quests, the desire to harness and to use the God-given resources of the world, we also see the less desirable aspects of selfishness and greed that lead to that question in the light of our text this morning. Who do we think we are? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And yet it seems that we take upon ourselves to define and decide what is perfect, and that what is imperfect in our eyes is unacceptable. I think there's one supermarket chain, there may be more, but there's one supermarket chain who make a feature of selling wobbly vegetables, don't they? And vegetables that don't appear quite perfect are packaged together and sold, because they fail to meet that imposed standard of perfection. The media advertising bombards us with images and ideas that will make our life perfect, and so emerge troubling tendencies that if we don't have perfection, then somehow that imperfection is of little worth. There also seems to be that drive to need to be in control. Again, not entirely a negative characteristic. It was this drive that led our distant ancestors to harness and use the power of fire or of steam and to invent and progress. How grateful are we today for the outcomes of medical research and the enormous strides in technology that improve life for so many. And yet, at the heart of it all, we are called to remember and to be aware. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. With that in mind, I invite us to think together for a moment of those verses that we heard from the book of Job. Now, Job, the righteous man, was crying out to God. He was crying out to God because his perfect life had been stripped away from him. He had had a life that was filled with prestige, with possessions, and with people, and he was suddenly assaulted on every side in the most dreadful way when everything and everyone was taken away from him. And he felt he could not understand, he felt out of control. And from the depths of his heart, he cried out to God. And towards the end of this book of Job, that follows Job's journey through his suffering, God responds to Job with these words. Who is it? Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Where were you, God says to Job, where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand who marked off its dimensions. And in the verses that follow, and I commend them to you, when you go home, pick up your Bible and read these chapters from the book of Job as God speaks to him. And in those following verses, God takes Job through the wonders of his creation. He directs Job's attention to God's wisdom and power and calls Job to realize just how limited humankind's understanding is. In chapter 38 that we heard verses from earlier, God shows himself as creator, as ruler of the inanimate universe, and ruler of the animate as well. In this passage, God addresses points about the universe that still puzzle and challenge even in our world of science and technology today. What is the foundation of time and matter and space? What patterns Earth's climate? How are instincts built into living creatures? These and myriad other questions cannot be fully answered by people. And so what does this tell us in the light of the knowledge that the earth is the Lord's? It tells us that we need to be aware of the limits of our understanding and appreciate God's wisdom. When God finally spoke to Job, he didn't explain to him why he had permitted him to suffer. And perhaps that's the point of the book of Job that is relevant for our thoughts today. For the book of Job portrays a God who is wise far beyond our understanding. Job had to accept that the human condition was not perfect, but that through it all he came to understand and accept that God was with him and for him. And when Job's pain was at its greatest and his words the most foolish, God cared. The Creator God, the all-powerful, almighty God was with him. And so like Job, perhaps we also need to understand that the human condition experience is not perfect, that there is a chasm between our wisdom and God's wisdom, and that here and now we cannot fully understand. But what we can do is to acknowledge with joy and delight that the earth is the Lord's. We can put our faith and trust in the Almighty God and claim hold of the assurance that is offered to us in the knowledge that the earth is the Lord's. We can resolve to be good stewards of the resources of this earth that God has entrusted to us. And we can play our own part in this. And as we stand firm on the promises of Scripture, we can delight with joy and pray for those who are in need. Amen. And so we sing together the hymn 727. God in his love for us lent us this planet. Let us pray. Generous God, at this harvest time, we thank you for all the good things that you give us. As we thank you for our food, we remember all those who do not have enough for even one proper meal each day. We pray for the homeless and for those who depend on the charity of others. We pray for the work of local food banks, providing food for those in need. And we ask that you will help us to share the harvests of the world more fairly. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayer. At this harvest time, we thank you for the hard work of all those who grow, protect, and prepare our food, for the shopkeepers, the transport delivery drivers, the processors, and the farmers. We pray, Father God, that you will bless all those who do not earn a fair day's pay for their hard work, both here at home and in other countries. We ask that you will help us to want to buy local produce and fairly traded goods wherever we can, so that everyone can work with dignity and there will be no more poverty. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayer. At this harvest time, we thank you for the world that we see around us, for flowers and trees and animals. Bless all those, Father God, who care for them. Help us to protect your creation by being careful about how we use your resources, so that there will be clean water, clean air, and plenty of wild birds, mammals, and insects to maintain the ecological balance of our countryside. Thank you for all that is good in your creation, and thank you for all who bring in the harvest of the sea and the land. We are conscious of so much that we get wrong, so we give you thanks too for your grace and your patience with us when we fail to look after your world as we should. And we ask that you will help us to change so that we too become a new creation, walking in the light of your gospel. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayer. At this harvest time, we ask for your blessing on our families, friends and neighbours, and on those who are sick. Help us to recognise the interdependence of all life and the importance of just relations and community, and help us to be good stewards of all that you continue to give us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. Father, we dedicate these, our gifts, to you in Jesus' name. We pray that your blessing will rest upon them and that they will be used for the glory, the honor, and the extension of your kingdom. Amen. For our final hymn, we lift our voices in a traditional harvest hymn. Come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home, number 123. may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.